Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Monday, everybody. And once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And you know there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the old King James Version of the Bible. And as I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I stay excited because of the many books that God has given us to draw from. And this study is particularly involved or focused on the book of Proverbs. And you know this book is a book of wisdom. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your Bible apps or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. And another reminder is every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, if you will, during which time you may ask questions or comment, or inquire if you like. The host has set up a chat room for that purpose. Now, before we get started, as I always like to do, personally, I would like to thank you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, who have given me feedback on this particular show. The comments and the advice that you're giving me, I am using, and I appreciate it so much. Thank you for that. Okay, as our theme song for the show suggests, the question for this hour is, as always, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? Jesus said, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. That's taken from Revelation 22, verse 14. Now, the promise is that you will receive a blessing if you keep God's commandments, and it will allow you and give you access to the city. Jesus said again, but thou, when thou pray, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret shall reward you openly. That's taken from Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. Again, the promise is that you're going to get an open reward from God the Father Almighty, if when you pray, you do it in secret. Jesus said again, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That's taken from Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And just in case I didn't give you the previous, it is Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. Now, this is taken from Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The promise is that if you take up your cross and you follow Jesus, then you will be a part of him. Now, again, the question for this hour is, my precious brothers and sisters, are you standing on these promises coming from Jesus Christ? Now, before we get started, as I always do, it's a reminder. I know you know this, but it is behoven of me to rehearse it and to review it with you to ensure that it is said that it is a good reminder that you do this. All of what the Bible is in writing is in code, meaning it is written in mysteries, in secrets, in parables, in prophecies, in proverbs, in paradoxes, in riddles, and in symbols. And the only way to break this code is through study and learning. And that's why we have come together this evening, my precious brothers and sisters, to study and learn together. So why won't we? Let's go to the study. Turn your Bible sources with me to Proverbs chapter 20. And we're going to look at verse 19. And as in the past, the scripture text is almost identical, if not identical, to the instruction. Now, the instruction that I want to reinforce and for you to pay attention to is this. He that goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. And this is what King Solomon told Israel in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19. He that goes about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. My brothers and sisters, this is so significant because we know we have, if nothing else, false witnesses out there that we have to be very careful of because of either jealousy or envy or contention or competition, whatever it be the case, they may lead you astray with misinformation. This is what Leviticus chapter 19 says about it, it being so significant to God that we do not do this. Listen to what the law says in Leviticus chapter 19, and it begins with verse 16 to 18. Listen to what the law says. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thy heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. And verse 30 through 32 completes this thought. Ye shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. I am the Lord. Now you can see these are specific laws that were compelled, mandatory on Israel. And the one that I wanted to highlight was thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. Okay, now let's go to the New Testament complement. We're going to compare and agree. We're going to see how Paul spoke to this to the Colossians in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 through 10. Listen to how Paul indicated it to the Colossians. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now listen, beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, and after the rudiments of the world, and not after Jesus Christ. That is significant, my brothers and sisters, for in him dwelleth all fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and powers. Now I see we're at our first break. Let's take our first break, and then we'll come back and complete the instruction.
I found out that the greater the faith, the deeper the disappointment. When you really believe in something, and this is why some of you don't expect much out of life anymore, it is your defense mechanism against disappointment. Because if you don't venture out, you don't have to be vulnerable. Hope is very vulnerable. Faith is very fragile. It puts you in a place where you're actually expecting something. And as Peter stood there considering the cost of discipleship in the shadow of the cross, it shot through his central nervous system that this was the end. And he's not with the women. Neither is James. Neither is John, for that matter. Or Bartholomew. There were plenty of people who could have been with them, but they weren't. And so now the women, they got their spices. They're not talking much. It's not a happy processional, but they're on their way. And on their way, they realize, hey, wait a minute. When we get there, we can't do what we need to do what we came to do. Because we have spices, but we're not strong enough. Have you ever felt like there was something in your way? Now, it could be depression. It could be addiction. It could be genetics. It could be your history. It could be your mental conditioning. Have you ever felt like there was something in your way that no matter how great or how high your faith would rise or become, there was something in your way, some stone in your way? I love what the Bible says, because the women are walking and they're worried. Well, you can't do it. Well, you can't do it either. Well, Mary, you should have. Well, don't tell me what I should have done, Salome. I'm not the one whose mom named her after a deli meat. You should have done it. You should have thought, where's Peter? But instead of resenting who wasn't with them, they asked the question, who will roll the stone away? I got good gospel news this Easter. God is already working out what you're worried about. God already has your miracle in motion if you will take a step in faith. The Bible says when they got there, not only was the stone gone, but there was a young man. Most theologians believe, because of the synoptic gospel accounts that confirm the report, that this was an angel who had not only rolled the stone away, but sat down on it. Now, the reason he sat down is not because he was tired. This angel did CrossFit and had excellent cardiovascular conditioning. No, this angel came down, rolled the stone, and sat down because in Jewish custom, when a teacher got ready to teach, they sat in a seat of authority. So the message is this. What you thought you couldn't get through, I'm already over. What you thought you couldn't do has already been done. And all power, are there any Easter people in this section? And authority belongs to Jesus. And I believe stones still roll. I believe God is working on what you're worried about. Why would you stay up late crying about? See, we don't understand a lot of times what's happening as we're walking. What's happening as we're walking. Matthew gives us a detail that Mark omitted, because he said that at some point while these women between 3 and 6 a.m. in the darkness of despair, doubt, and disappointment, this is the atmosphere of the text, and in their great frustration because of their lack of strength and ability, while they were walking, God was working. While they were walking, God was working. Watch the second verse of the last chapter of Matthew. It's a different ending. It's a little bit of a different detail that we don't get in Mark's gospel. It says that, behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat down on it. The angel was already on the way while the women were walking to the tomb. And I dare you to look at somebody and say, your angel is already on the way. So don't stress out about it, and don't you dare turn around and go back home. Because while you're worrying, God is working. God does some of his best work in the dark. And just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not in progress. You can't end like this. You think God would let these women get all the way to the tomb and let a stone stand in their way? God says, when you do what you can do, I will do what you cannot do. I'll help you raise those kids. I'll help you stay married to that man. I'll help you make it through another week. I'll help you. Help is on the way. That's Easter.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we just reviewed what a talebearer will reveal and why it is something that we should avoid contact with. And this is what I want you to take from this particular instruction on talebearer, that this is what I'm trying to share. Take or talk not much with a fool, and go not with him that hath no sense, because you will get caught up in their calamity. That is a good advice that I got from an old Jewish, you know, proverb, that you talk not much with a fool. And that's what I want you to keep in mind with this particular instruction. Now let's move on to the next instruction. We're going to go back to Proverbs chapter 20. We're going to look at Proverbs chapter 20, verse 24. And again, the instruction and the scripture text are almost identical. And this is what I want you to keep in mind. This is the instruction. Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his ways? That is so significant to realize, my brothers and sisters. And this is what Jeremiah says about it. And this is why it's so significant. Listen to how Jeremiah put it in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. This is what Jeremiah has to say about that. Jeremiah, and then when I get there, Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. This is what it says. Ye, the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel, thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heathen, or at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. Verse 10 through 15 continues the thought. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth shall tremble, and the nation shall not be able to abide his indignation. Thus shall ye say unto them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. He hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom, and hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion. When he uttereth his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and he causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightning with rain, and bringeth forth the wind out of his treasures. Every man is brutish in his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image, for his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. They are vanity, and the work of errors. In the time of their visitation they shall perish. Now listen to what he said in verse 23. This is what's significant about that. O Lord, I know from that which he said, I know that the way of a man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thy anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. So Jeremiah is saying that man cannot do it by himself. And that is what Solomon is saying in verse 24 of chapter 20. Now let's go to Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to see what Paul said about it in verse 16 through 21. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 21. This is what Paul says. Paul says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that they cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the workings of the flesh or the law are manifest in these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. My brothers and sisters listening out there, this is why a man cannot walk in his own ways, because he is walking contrary to godliness, and that's because of the curse. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. The prophet Jeremiah says it best, as I mentioned already. I know, the prophet says, that the way of a man is not in himself. It is not in a man that walketh. And that is telling us that because of the knowledge of good and evil, man is discrepant. Now, I see we've reached the second break. Let's take that break, and then we'll continue with the lesson.
All right, you have to learn to pray. You learn to pray in the same way. Lord, teach us to pray. Now remember, in living this Christian life, you don't have to live it alone. The Holy Spirit lives in you. The moment you receive Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live in you to give you the power, the strength, the wisdom, the courage to live the Christian life. Now the Holy Spirit also helps in your prayer life. The Scripture says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit helps you to pray. Now, may I make a suggestion? There are so many people that say, well, I don't feel like praying. I only pray when I feel like it. Then you're wrong. You should have a definite time and place every day to pray. You have an appointment. You have an interview with Almighty God. Suppose you had an interview with President Eisenhower tomorrow morning. You'd get up and say, well, I don't feel like seeing the president this morning. Or suppose you were going to be presented to the Queen. Well, I don't feel like it this morning. No, you'd be there. You'd be dressed in your best. You'd go and present yourself to the Queen. Well, every day, God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is waiting. He has given you an audience at any time of the day, and you fail to keep your appointment. Have a definite time that you set aside and pray when you least feel like it. The will is involved here, too. You say, I don't feel like it. All right, your emotion, your body says, I don't feel like it. My mind says, I don't feel like praying. My will makes me go and spend time in prayer, because prayer is work. Prayer is work. And many times you make yourself keep your appointment with God, and out of some of those moments come your most precious moments and some of your greatest answers to prayer.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're at the next instruction. We're looking at, again, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 28. And this is what the scripture text says, and it's identical to the instruction. So let me give you the instruction first. Mercy and truth preserves the king. That is so critical to know, that Solomon taught. Mercy and truth preserveth the king. Now let's hear what he said in the text. Mercy and truth preserves the king, and his throne is upholden by mercy. That is significant. And we go to Psalms 89, and we can see how significant that is. Turn with me, if you will, your Bible sources to Psalms 89. We'll look at verse 1 and 2, and it says, and this is Ethan, the Ezraite, is the one who wrote this particular psalm. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I have said, mercy shall build up forever. Thy faithfulness shall not establish. Thy faithfulness shall thou establish in the very heavens. Then 14 through 18 completes the thought. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne, O Lord God Almighty, and mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the days, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. So you can see that mercy plays a vital part in our establishing a relationship with God, and truth also. And now we're going to go to our New Testament complement, and it's going to identify that truth. Turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And this is what Jesus said about that truth. John chapter 14, verse 6. It says, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. And verse 15 through 18 completes the thought. Jesus still saying, so if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that ye may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth, my brothers and sisters, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So Jesus at the time saying that he is the truth, and the comforter which he will send to us after he leaves is the Spirit of truth. So mercy and truth preserves us, my brothers and sisters. We are the kingdom of priests in the world today. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. It should mean that God is mercy that endureth forever, and that Jesus is the truth that endureth forever, and they preserve life everlasting. So it is critical what Solomon is saying to Israel that we respond to right today, because that's talking about having God and having Jesus Christ. That is our preservation. Okay, let's turn back to the next instruction. We're going to go back to instruction Proverbs 20, verse 29 this time. We're going to look at verse 29. And again, we're going to read the text and the instruction. They're identical. But I want you to keep in mind that this is the instruction that I'm trying to share with you to keep in mind of the instruction. The glory of young men is their strength. Did you hear me, my precious brothers and sisters? The glory of young men and women are their strength. And this is what Solomon told Israel in verse 29. The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is their gray hair. That is so significant that you should know where your glory resides. And now let's look at Psalms 19, and we're going to see how David put this in perspective concerning glory and identifying the glory of God. This is what David says in Psalms 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. So this is what we get from the glory of God, why it is so significant. And this is God's strength. Listen to what it says in verse 7 through 11, completing the thought. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, and sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Listen, my precious brothers and sisters, moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping them is great reward. So you see that the glory of God is predominant, or the glory of God is preeminent. That is the glory we should be seeking, men and women. And now let's go back to the New Testament to compare and agree. Turn with me, if you will. We're going to look at John chapter 16, or John chapter 15. John chapter 15, we're going to look at verse 8 through 11, and listen to what Jesus said about this glory. John chapter 15, verse 8 through 11. Listen to what Jesus says. Herein is my Father glorified. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? This is the glory we should be seeking. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Did you hear that? As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? That's the glory that we should be seeking today. And it completes the thought in verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth much fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give you. My brothers and sisters, that is the glory that we should be accumulating and seeking. It is the glory of God, and it is in bearing much fruit through the Holy Spirit. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that the glory of God is all of our strength, and that is all of what we need to prosper spiritually first, then physically, this side of eternity. My brothers and sisters, I will reread that because it is so critical, that the glory of God is all of our strength, and that is all that we need to prosper spiritually first, then physically, this side of eternity. That is so significant to know. And remember what Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the rest will be added unto you. My brothers and sisters, that is our way to success. Now I see we're at another break. Let's take that break, and then we'll continue with our lesson.
What shall it profit a man, Jesus said, if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Suppose he had all the knowledge and all the wealth and all the power in the whole world today and lost your soul. You see, the whole country is on a quest for something. In drugs, in sex, in entertainment, we want something. We don't quite know what it is. And it's elusive. We don't find it. We go on in our pleasures, thinking they're going to last forever. But they don't. Solomon was the great king of Israel, the son of David. His income was staggering. Nobody that ever lived in history could compare with Solomon in financial worth. Anything he could dream of, he had it. You know how many wives he had? 700. But that didn't satisfy. He had 300 concubines. Every pleasure at his beck and call. He thought it would bring the peace that he longed for. And then he said, I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity. It was a bubble that burst. It didn't satisfy. Something beyond it satisfies. What is it? What is it? Deep in your heart, something is missing. You don't know what it is. The thing that's missing is that personal relationship with Christ. You see, sin is a disease. It's destructive. And we all have it. The Bible says all have sinned. What can we do about it? Come to the cross. Let Christ forgive your sins, change your life, turn you in a new direction, and give you a new mind. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the embodiment of all truth, and I can set you free. Free from your anxieties, free from your troubles and problems. We need to repent and turn by faith to Jesus Christ. What is repentance? It means that you change your way of thinking, you change your way of living. It means that you're willing to turn over your life to Christ, turn over your life to God, and say, oh God, I need you, I receive you. And then by faith you receive Christ. Christ. Have you received him? Do you know him? God is speaking to you. Come to Christ.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're going to the next instruction, and we're going to look at Proverbs. Turn your Bible sources back to Proverbs chapter 21, verse 2. That's what we're looking at. And of course, as I always am reminding you, that the text and the instruction are identical, and this is the instruction. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? Solomon says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes. And we remember a minute ago, we just went over one of the instructions, and it says that the ways of a man is not in his own steps. So we know that this is telling us exactly what that referred to when we read about it, that man is going to fall into calamity if he doesn't follow the instructions that are within him, which is God directed. So let's see what Solomon said about every way of a man is right in his own eyes. Proverbs 21, verse 2. And it says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes. The Lord pondereth the hearts. And to add impetus to this, let's go. We're going to just amplify this through the prophet Jeremiah. Listen to what Jeremiah says in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5 through 10. Listen to what Jeremiah says. Thus saith the Lord God, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, that walks in his own ways, in other words, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabit it. And again, we're talking about what happened in the Garden of Eden is the reason for this situation man is in. Curse it. That's what the curse of the garden gave us. Listen again to what he said in verse 7. He said, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when he cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Again, my brothers and sisters, remember what happened in the garden? We got kicked out, or our foreparents got kicked out, and the tree of life was not available to them. This is the blessing of trusting in the Lord. You're going to receive that tree of life. And this is how verse 9 completes the thought on why the ways of a man are right in his own eyes. Listen, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord God Almighty, searcheth the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his own doings. And this is why it's so critical to follow God and not your own ways, because your own ways have been tainted, and it's been tainted by the curse from the garden of good and evil. All right, let's look at now our New Testament complement, and let's see how Jesus put it in Matthew chapter 24. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 24, and we're going to be looking at verse 4 and 5 and several other verses that's going to explain why Jesus says the same. In Matthew 24, verse 4, it says, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Verse 11 continues, "And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many." Verse 24 continues. Verse 24 says, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before." Jesus is telling us that be careful of man. We've already seen or read what Jeremiah says, that man's heart is deceptive. And we know that Jesus told us in the Gospel of Mark that it's the inside of a man that defiles a man, not the outside of a man. He said, Jesus said that from within the man, out of his heart, comes evil thoughts and adulteries and fornication and thefts and murders and wickedness and covetousness and blasphemy and lasciviousness and an evil eye and foolishness and pride and the such like. So we know that man's ways are right, but the right of man's ways are wrong in God's sight. And this is the result of what happened in the Garden of Eden. Now, this is what I want you to understand from this particular instruction, that we must use basic instructions before leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible, as our barometer. My precious brothers and sisters, that is critical. We must have some measure that will tell us whether we're doing right or whether we're doing wrong. And that's the instructions that come from basic instructions before leaving Earth. So that's what I want you to get from this particular lesson. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn back with me, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 21. We're going to look at verse 3. Proverbs chapter 21. And we're going to look at verse 3. And this is identical, the instruction with the text. And the instruction is to do justice and judgment is more acceptable to God than sacrifice. Did you hear that, my precious brothers and sisters? Solomon said to Israel, to do justice and judgment is more acceptable to God than sacrifice. And let's hear what he said, how he put it in verse 3. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord God than sacrifice. And this is how Hosea put it in Hosea chapter 6. And this is the prophet Hosea talking about the same. Listen to what Hosea said in chapter 6, verse 7, to begin with. For I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. But they, like men, have transgressed the covenant. They have dealt treacherously against me. Did you hear what I said, my brothers and sisters? Verse 6 is key. For I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Now, this is what he completes in verse 1 through 3. He says, "Come, and let us return unto the Lord. For he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall have life in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come up into us as the rain, and as the latter and former rain upon the earth. So even though that was in parables and it was a prophecy, it's telling us that God will cause us to be saved rather than sacrificed if we return to him. We're at our last break of the evening. Let's take that break.
Gold foundation in the eyes of the Lord. No found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That is the reason the scriptures record. No found grace in the eyes of the Lord. No found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Well, the Lord looked down.
There are two types of Christian. There are those who think following God means we're immune to bad things. They have a perception that being a Christian isolates us from trouble. Then there are others who accept that the word of God tells us that everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. In fact, it tells us that if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated Jesus first. And these type of Christians take heed of his word and accept that difficulties and trouble will come, but at least they will face them with God. There are other Christians who look at a storm and say, God, make it stop. Make it go away. God, I don't like the rain. I don't like the pain. Then there are others who look at the same storm and say, order my steps, Lord. As I go through this storm, help me to grow. Help me to grow through this storm as I go through it. Some Christians pray and say, God, this is too hard. For others, they pray and say, God, give me the strength to bear this. Some will pray and say, Lord, I can't take much more of this. I can't withstand. Others will pray for supernatural powers to endure. One man will say, why me? But I can't do that. I don't have what it takes to. But another man will say, not my will, God, but your will. There are Christians that are halfway believers. They believe in God. They know the story of Jesus, but they don't walk with any power. But we are called to be Christians who believe in God, called to have a relationship with Jesus, and called to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Be a Christian who says, even though I'm scared, even though I don't know how everything will turn out, if you send me, and if you're with me, I'll go. Be a Christian who will take on anything, knowing that God will get the glory. Just look at Paul. He was no stranger to difficulties and suffering. He is a man who was cast in prison, faced with the real possibility of death. Many times, he was beaten, shipwrecked, and in many uncomfortable situations. But he still said in 2 Corinthians, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. When God goes with you, you don't need all the answers. You don't need a blueprint. It may not be picture perfect, but I would rather do the will of God or have God on my side than be comfortable. Be a Christian with spiritual maturity. Be a Christian who lets God lead. Be a believer that walks in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we were looking at to do justice and judgment is more acceptable to God than sacrifice. And we heard what Solomon had to say about that, and we know what the prophet Hosea said, that God wants us to receive him and not to be sacrificed. So now we're going to go to our New Testament complement, and we're going to see how Jesus put it. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 9, and look how Jesus put it in verse 1 through 6, Matthew chapter 9. And this is a parable and an example. It's an allegory. How significant that justice and judgment are than to sacrifice. And this is what happened with Jesus. And Jesus entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own country. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing his faith, or seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins have been forgiven thee. This is justice and judgment. Verse 3, And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man is blaspheming. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore thinketh ye evil in your hearts? For whether it easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thy house. Now we see that through the goodness, through the judgment and justice of Jesus, that was the man of the palsy was not sacrificed. Now, verse 12 and 13 completes the thought. This is what Jesus said. Jesus said, They that behold need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what this meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am come to call the righteous. For I am not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. So, my precious brothers and sisters, you can see from what Jesus said that God does not want us to be lost. We know that Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2 that it is the will of God that all mankind be saved. And we also know that in Jeremiah chapter, 18, verse 23, that God does not desire any of the wicked to be lost. So why would you be lost, O wicked man? So this is the instruction that is so significant. And now this is what I want you to understand from this particular instruction, that God does not want to lose any of his creation to damnation. So it is so significant that even mercy comes into play with that. And we just read about how mercy comes into play with that and truth that preserves the king. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 21, verse 4. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 4. And this is our last instruction for the evening. And this is what Solomon said to Israel, and it's identical to the instruction, and I'm going to give you the instruction first. A high look and a proud heart is sin. You hear that, my brothers and sisters? We know that the New Testament tells us that God resisteth the proud and giveth more grace to the meek and the humble and lowly of spirit. So this is not what Solomon's saying. Solomon's giving us the former part of this that goes with a proud heart or a high look. It's sin. And this is what the psalmist says about that to amplify it in Psalms 10, verse 2. This is what David said about pride and the high look being sin. The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above out of his sight. As for all of his enemies, he puffeth at them. He hath said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I will never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. He sitteth in the lurking places of the village. In the secret places doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privy, set against the poor. You can see that this is what happens when you are high-minded and proud of heart, egotistical or narcissistic. This sin is yours. And we will go now to Luke and see what Luke has to say about it, comparing and agreeing. Turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, and this is what Jesus has to say concerning the same. And this is sin, and this is how Jesus puts it. In Luke chapter 16, verse 13 through 15, Jesus says, "No servant can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." My precious brothers and sisters, Jesus is saying that you cannot be proud and serve God. You must be humble and meek to serve God. He continues in verse 14, "And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And Jesus said unto them, Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God." My precious brothers and sisters, that's telling it like what we should realize, that that which is highly esteemed among men, that means pride and pomp and circumstance. And we got to be very careful, because that is abomination in the sight of God. And we know that, we remember from reading what Jesus said about from within, out of the heart, comes these negative attributes. Remember, we talked about murder and theft and wickedness and blasphemy and all of these things. And those who commit such things, Jesus says, will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. So we know that a high look and a proud heart is a sin in the eyes of God. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that pride and being proud goes before the fall. Many will be dead right because they give in to what is right. And that means that a lot of individuals will say that you can have it. Society will preach that it's okay, and we know that it's not okay, that it falls short of the glory of God, and that is what causes us to lose our souls. That concludes the lesson for this evening. And my brothers and sisters, as I always complete the program with, as we sign off, the host and I, we want to thank you and bless you for your participation and for your encouragement this evening. Good night.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I hope you were blessed by our program. Please join us every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Good night.